There we go. It is so good to be back.
And it's good to have you back.
Yeah. You take a lot of things for granted. Your voice, for instance, you take for granted. You use it all the time. You really don't. You don't know what it's like sometimes unless you just lose it all. And hopefully Jeff can kind of control that back there today. So this morning we are celebrating, man, that sounds bad. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. Jesus had been prophesied by the prophet Hosea that the Messiah would ride in on a colt. The Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews were all wanting to have their Savior come to them, and they were looking for this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords. Jesus told his disciples to go into town, and there they're going to find a colt. And to bring that colt. And on that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, Jesus rode on the back of a colt. And they were taking their palms and they were laying them down and they were crying out, "Hosanna in the highest." They were so glad that their king has come, their Messiah had come. And now they could get out from under the grip of the Romans. Jesus came and, thank you, Jesus came and rode into town, and everybody was joyous. They were celebrating. They were so glad that the king had come. Their Messiah was there, and he was going to take up the throne, and he was going to bring his kingdom to pass right there. Jesus, through the week, had his mind on two things. He did not care about the applause. He did not care about the accolades of all the men. He did not care about all of the pomp and circumstance. No, he knew he was going to the cross. And the one thing that was so near and dear to him was to have the Passover with his disciples. He would have run-ins with all of the religious people, all the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He would turn the tables over in the temple. He knew his end was coming. And the one thing that he desired more than anything else was to partake of the Lord's Passover with his disciples. His disciples were very special to him. He had 12 of them, but he had 3 that were very, very special. And he wanted to partake of the Lord's Passover with them this last time before he would willingly give his life on the cross. The Lord's Passover was celebrating the night that God would deliver Israel, the Hebrews, out of the Egyptians' slavery. This one night was so special that God told them, do this every year as a memorial. Moses and Aaron had gone to Pharaoh, and I'd like to have you read with me from Exodus chapter 10. Exodus chapter 10 this morning for just three verses. If you'd please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that you may tell in the ears of your sons and the sons' sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. It is so good to be back. And Father God, I thank you. I have missed my people so much. Father, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being back in your pulpit here at Eastview on this special Sunday. And Father, we pray that every heart will be anointed, every heart will be touched. And Father, that we will not be able to leave the same way we came, and that our lives will be changed because of your Passover. And Father, we pray that we might always remember and yearn, as Christ did, to partake of the Lord's Supper with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Father, we pray for your anointing on every heart. We pray, Father, that you would ease the voice of this message. And, Father God, we pray that you will ultimately be glorified. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, fooey on you. So, out came the plagues, one after another. The water was turned to blood. Frogs, insects, you name it, all of the different plagues. And God said, there's going to be one more. And this will be the one that does it. Look with me in Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord said to Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go hence. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of your people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out unto the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. God said, there's one more plague. There's one more plague, and this is going to be the one that changes Pharaoh's mind, because his heart has already been hardened. And he's going to let the people go as I have commanded. So Pharaoh was given the ultimatum. The Jews were there. They were given specific instructions so that their firstborn would be passed over, so that they were not appointed to wrath, so that God would pass over them when the death angel passed through the streets of Egypt. Jesus wanted to partake of that Passover. That's where his heart was. His disciples loved him so much, and he loved his disciples, and he knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to give his life as a ransom for you and I. And he wanted just one more time, special moment with his disciples. As Pharaoh was told to let my people go, his heart was hardened. And then we see in Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein you shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden with all water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and all the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. And that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token. The blood shall be to you as a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of the Egyptians. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This was serious stuff with God. God is about relationships. God is about being with his people and allowing his people to be in his presence. But there's no way that they could be in his presence because they are filled full of sin. They are born in sin. So here's Christ. Here's Jesus. In his last week, he knows he's going to the cross. And he wants to celebrate the Passover with the closest of friends that he has. The one thing that is on the heart of Christ should be in our hearts every day, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and to fellowship together with Almighty God. That's the heart of Christ. Today is a very unique day. Not only is it Palm Sunday, but it's the fifth Sunday of the month where we have communion. I've never done this before. Never had communion in the midst of the Passover. And God just laid it on my heart. As Jesus was there with his disciples, at what point did he say, "This is my body"? At what point did he say, "This is my blood"? What difference does it really make? I believe that when we see the elements of Passover and in the order, that when we truly see where Christ said, "This is my body, this is my blood," that we will see the significance of the Passover and the Holy Communion as they come together. And that we can understand the heart of Christ through the Lord's Passover and through the communion that we normally partake of. The first thing I believe we need to see is the elements of Passover. The elements of Passover are very special. The elements of Passover consist of three loaves of bread. The first loaf of bread is the bread of affliction. This bread would represent all of the affliction that the children of Israel had gone through there in Egypt. It would also allow us to see the bread that was blessed. The bread that was blessed, it represents the heavenly manna that God sent to them when they were in the midst of the wilderness, where he would provide for them and protect them. And so this was the bread that was blessed, and it represented the heavenly manna that God sent to them in the wilderness. This bread was the bread that was broken. This is the bread that was broken, and it represents the coming of Messiah. This represented God now taking his people so that they now are one with Christ in heaven. We also have the five cups. You can go to the next slide. There we go. The five cups are represented in Exodus chapter 6. They are the five promises of God. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. This is what God's word says. "Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with outstretched arms and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." As we look at the cups, the first cup The first cup is represented by the first promise of God. And he says, I will bring you out. This is the first cup. It is known as the cup of blessing. When God says, I will bring you out, I will take you out of the bondage that you are currently in. And then the next cup represents the next promise found there in Exodus chapter 6, which is, I will rid you out. It is the cup of sanctification. The third cup is the third promise, and that promise is, I will redeem you. It is known as the cup of remembrance. The fourth cup represents the promise, I will take you to me to be my people. It is known as the cup of redemption. And the fifth cup represents the fifth promise, I will be to you a God. And that is known as the cup of Elijah. These three loaves of bread, these five cups, are all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ wanted to be with his disciples so bad. That is what weighed heavy on his heart, even though he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be nailed to a cross. He knew he was going to give his life as a ransom so that we could spend an eternity with Almighty God. But this was the heaviest thing on his heart because he wanted to partake of the Passover with his disciples. I think when we see the order of service, that's on the next slide. There we go. We will see the significance of the elements of Passover. This is a prayer shawl, as most of you will recognize. I couldn't find my yarmulke. Sorry. I know the Lord will forgive me. When we look at the order of worship, the order of the Passover, the first thing we see is the first cup, the cup of blessing. It was to remind the children of Israel that he will bring you out. The first thing they would do is they would all partake of the cup of blessing. They would all partake of this, acknowledging the promise of God. As they would go around the table, sanitation in that day wasn't like today. The next thing that they would do is they would wash their hands. And by washing our hands, we're not washing off the germs. We're simply showing our tremendous need of being cleansed. And so the Father would wash his hands, and the rest of the family would wash their hands, acknowledging their need for the cleansing that comes from Almighty God. Then the Father would take the bread of affliction And you never break the bread of affliction. You simply part it. Take a bread of affliction and the horseradish. If anybody else wants to join me, they can right now. But they would dip that in the horseradish. Hopefully this will help my throat. Bible says if I eat anything deadly, it'll not kill me. Rob, you want some? He said he loves horseradish. But they would eat the bread of affliction. And that horseradish has a very bitter taste. And it was to remind them of just how bad it was in Egypt. What their grandfathers, their great-grandfathers had gone through. How they had toiled as slaves. Many of the women had been molested. The men would have to bake bricks. And they would be whipped. Their affliction was great. And the horseradish represented how bitter the affliction was. After everybody in the family had partaken and parted some of the bread and had dipped it in the horseradish, the father would tell them all about what the great-grandfathers had said when they were living the affliction of the Egyptians. After everybody had partaken of the bread of affliction, they would then, Father would pick up the second glass, which is the cup of sanctification. This represented the second promise of God, that He would rid them out of their bondage. And so He would acknowledge that tremendous promise of Almighty God. And he then would partake of the cup of sanctification. And he would pass that then throughout the entire family. He would then normally take a couple sprigs of parsley. This is going to be good too. And he would dip it in the salt water. Once. And then twice. That represented the tears of those that were in the bondage. At this point in the Passover, they would normally have one of the youngest children ask four questions. Hannah, would you like to ask me a question? Question was, why is this night different? The father would tell the story about the bondage in Egypt and how the Lord sent the death angel to kill the firstborn of all the Egyptians, and how he had told them to take a lamb and keep him 14 days away from all the other sheep and goats. Getting parsley all over everything. And how this night was different because they would take the blood and they would put it on the doorpost and on the header of the door. And when the death angel passed by, God would see the blood and He would pass over them. Do you have another question? We eat bitter herbs to remind us of how bitter the affliction was and how we in our own lives today, we also have things that are bitter in our lives, but God can take that which is bitter and He can bless it and make it a part of the testimony of His greatness in our lives. Why do we dip twice? Well, the salt water represents the tears. And our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, they shed a lot of tears because of that horrendous affliction that they'd gone through. So we dip it the first time for our people and for the tears that they shed. The second time we dip it, we are dipping it because of the Egyptians' tears. God sent His death angel, and all of the firstborn of mankind, all of the firstborn of the beasts of the field, they all died. And there was great sorrow in Egypt. And when we dip it twice, we're remembering the affliction of our people and the tears of the Egyptians. And when we eat it, it fills our mouth with bitterness. You have another question? When we partake of the Passover now, we eat reclining back. But the night that God sent the death angel, He says, I want you to have your loins girt about you. I want you to be wearing your shoes, sandals, and I want your staff in your hand, because I want you ready to move out. I want you to be mobile. I want you to get ready to leave this land of bondage. But we eat reclined now to simply show our complete freedom that God has brought to us. As they would eat, they would then have the cup. This would be the cup of remembrance. Third cup. Okay. Yep, cup of remembrance. There we go. And it represented the promise, where God said, I will redeem you, get this, with outstretched arms. If that's not a picture of Christ, I don't know what is. The Father would drink from the cup of remembrance. He would pass that around. They would then take the bread that was blessed, and He would put 10 drops He would place 10 drops of wine on the bread that was blessed. Take His hand and massage the wine into that bread. And again, this bread would not be broken. It would simply be parted. And then He would pass that bread on throughout the family. That would remind them of how great God is, and that He can bless them in the middle of being destitute in the wilderness, sending them heavenly manna every single morning, and that God will always, always provide for you regardless of the situation that you happen to be in. After they ate part of the bread, they would then eat of the meal. They would eat the bread. They would sing a very beautiful psalm, or they would recite it. I want to recite just a few verses from Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye all the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord, our God, who dwells on high? This would be a joyous occasion for all of the Jews' families. After they would sing that song, bring up the next slide, please. They would eat of the meal. The meal many times would be roasted lamb. They'd have figs and they'd have fruit and they'd have berries and nuts. And this meal was something that was very formal, but yet they did not want to rush through it. The meal many times would take an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And they would just partake of the meal and talk about what God had done in their individual lives. As the family would be around and they'd be gathered and they'd be reclining, they'd partake of it. And they'd share the testimony of what God had done. After the meal is pretty well concluded, the father would do something very special. And it was at this point that the father would take the bread that was broken. And this would end the meal. And he would say, "This is the bread that is broken for you." This represents the coming of Messiah. And it is at this point that Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." If our deacons would come.